settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week Nick Deep Trance channels his exceptional gift of channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And on this week's show, we're going to be discussing Christmas in the spirit world. So if you'd like to participate and call us with a question or comment, actually, it's pretty much an open house show today, so that is what we're going to be discussing, but if you want to phone in and ask us a question, as long as it's about spirit and it's not, something to do with a metaphysical nature. It's not a reading, okay? We're not going to give you a reading, but call in with a question or comment. We'd love to hear from you. So it's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, that's 9 p.m. GMT.
Oh, yes.
No, 9 p.m. GMT, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as well as that, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, please go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means that I'm a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can hopefully get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never fully realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back, and that is how it should be. Because we wouldn't want any thoughts and feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the pure spirit contact that we make. So goodbye for now.
Okay, so while Mick's going into trance, I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory. Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who are going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. And the group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet, to aid us on the road to recovery and hopefully raise the vibration of the planet in the process. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists, and scholars, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. And of course, those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, we are the keepers of this planet, and we have to take care of it for future generations. And I'd just like to mention again that we are available for Akashic readings. At the moment we're in the UK, so they're online, unless you're in the UK. And we'd love to hear from you. If you would like an Akashic reading, if you'd like to go to our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, you can find out more about our Akashic readings. But basically, your Akashic, an Akashic reading is the reading from your book of life. So it's quite unique and quite, well, absolutely incredible. I don't think you'll ever have a reading like it in any other way. So go to spiritteaching.com and find out a little bit more about our Akashic readings. We do all sorts of different lengths of time, and I'm sure you'll have a good look around our website anyway. There's lots of information for you to glean, so enjoy that. So I do believe Gregory is with us at the moment.
It's love and light, my friend. Hello.
Hi. Oh, and I'd just like to say to everybody, if you hear a train, it's because we are literally a few yards away from a train line. So, but it's, live radio, folks. At least you don't feel the house shaking. Anyway. So, well, we're excited to find out from you today, Gregory, about Christmas in the spirit world. Does anything, how does this transfer to the spirit world, Christmas? I know it's an individual thing for people who have had a physical life, presumably, and how they feel as individuals.
Yes, of course.
But do you do anything as a spirit guide or other spirit guides? Do you do anything different at this time of year?
I have to say, my dear friend, that we actually generally tend to use the Christmas period as a time for involving very deep reflection for some people who may have difficulty with certain reflections of their life, and also that we bring about a great deal of the energy that is brought about from the physical world. After all, if you think about for one moment, you have all of this energy which people bring into each other because they are wishing people well. They are creating love within themselves, extending that love towards many other people. And this is then a time of a very great cherishment, really, from our point of view, because we then are able to help focus those issues of love. We can perhaps bathe within those energies and also help to harness those energies so that other beings in the spirit world and other beings in the physical reality will perhaps become more healed by those energies that we are able to draw together right across the whole spectrum of the planet's surface. So you have many people, I know that the whole celebration perhaps many people think of in terms of Christmas is really to do with one specific religion. Well, actually it's not, because of course it was the forerunner long before Christianity ever came about. It was had always been a religious significant time, a time of greater understanding, a time of greater compassion, really, for many physical beings who actually had those general forms of understanding. And so this actually had been a time of great giving for many thousands of years.
And so what were the... can you mention some of these other situations of celebration?
Well, absolutely. In Hindu, of course, there had always been great celebrations. There had been many, many celebrations toward other forms of religion as well. I understand that many of the situations around Siddhartha, I am well aware, of course, that different strains of Buddhism will actually celebrate different aspects and different times of the year, perhaps. And yet, you also have to take into account the fact of the winter equinox as well. So this is also a time for many pre-Christian religious forms and senses and feelings that were based around more more rigorous strains of thought to do with very specific energies tied to the planet. Even when you are looking at and observing certain religions to do with the how people acknowledged and worshipped the sun and created the sun as a god. And in fact, these two were very great symbolisms of great empowerment for human physical beings. It meant that there were these great sources of energy which were gathered together really to do with the upwelling, if you will, of these growing energies of love that came from within the self, in a sense to really try to make communication, not necessarily with the spirit world, but with the universal life. And this then has to be acknowledged, that you feel within yourself. Of course, it's within the eye of the beholder, whoever it is. So really, in a sense, it doesn't really matter about what religion you are feeling empathy with at that time. You may even be a person who moves from one religion to another, from being a Christian to a Buddhist to whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really matter? Isn't it truthfully to state that, in point of fact, if you pare down these religious feelings and thoughts, the ways that their various books have been written, when you pare down all of that and you just really focus upon the central life, you could pick perhaps any of the deities which have had an exonerated life in physical state. They're apparently almost brought about in the same life experience, having perhaps been born as a child from a virgin birth.
This is very common, is it? In going back through the ages, I mean, or with these different deities and that sort of thing, that is something that they say.
Yes, absolutely so. This is my point, really, that all of these, if you search, research all of the very strong religious bases, even through Egyptology, you will notice and understand that there have been these miraculous conceptions of very specific people, children who are born, who have these beautiful and directive communications with that, of course, which they would align God to be. And then there you have the focus, the refocusing, in a sense, of humanity toward this newer form of religion or this specific saying. But actually, friends, if you look at every single one of them, you are acknowledging, really, that they're all saying exactly the same thing, or at least trying to. It is only tending to be that when religious in its purest form becomes idolized by very specific people who then see it as a way perhaps of them gaining their own understanding and empowerment, and that empowerment entreats, then for there to be some kind of a secret about it, or some kind of imaginary concept which other mortal men cannot find faith with,
mm-hmm.
or cannot achieve themselves. They then keep this closeted for themselves. Whether they are priestesses or whether they are priests, what does it really matter about gender? It doesn't. Or at least it shouldn't. And yet you have these states of some religion who will actually admonish, perhaps, a female's role in the place of deep religious hierarchy or thought, and that they too may then be cast out as some lower form, lower than some animal. How can this possibly be?
So you mentioned that, that really all of these deities have the same message. So what would that message be in a nutshell?
For all beings to learn to love one another. That is really the central message. For all beings to respect the scope of difference. Why is it so difficult? And why does it seem to be that many people feel that this does not apply to them? Ah, but surely then, meaning difference can only mean that I am different to everyone else because I'm superior, or that they're different to me because they actually haven't grasped the truth yet of my own caste or religion. Don't forget, friend, that all religions, in a sense, came from these seeds of birth from perfect thought. And the reason why all of these people, Siddhartha, Buddha, Krishna, whoever it was, Jesus, whoever it was that came, all had one central message, one central tenet, recognized to give to humanity, to say, here is the simplest thing that you can do at any time of your life. And that if you come along this certain pathway and tread your course of life as closely to it as you may become enraptured by this gift of love that comes from the depths of yourself. And that really is a reflection of the ultimate creation of the universe, that which you call God.
So, okay, so in the spirit world, how does this manifest itself in your life, in the spirit world, and
in,
people like you?
Yes, my friend, in my life in particular, we gravitate when there are situations like this, celebrations, any religious celebration, we will gather around it. Whatever the celebration is, whatever religion it is, it doesn't matter. Because they are still moments when people come together in prayer. When they are thinking about themselves, yes, selfish thoughts perhaps, but they are also creating loving energy toward the universe, toward the Creator, whoever that may be deemed within their own minds. This energy then we use. We use this beautiful power which is unleashed by humanity through these times of their selfless thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, remember, pining for themselves, God help me, but what they are doing is sending loving energy perhaps out to perhaps it is to do with their brothers or sisters, mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts, people who have passed to the spirit world. They're sending these loving energies and prayers to them. And we are using those energies. Yes, of course they are going to those loved ones that they've already deemed and mentioned. But we are also saying that these are times, of course, as well for human beings to reflect upon trying to heal the world and perhaps sending healing to those war-torn countries or to places or people that are having a very difficult time of it, perhaps through some natural disaster or something like that. What we actually do, what I personally do, is I use those energies, use the reflection of those energies to help galvanize my own energy. This doesn't mean to say that I'm a vampire or some of this energy or something like that, but it's actually there for being used. For all of those in the spirit world who carry out situations of healing to do with others. And so what we do, what I do personally myself, is that I focus that energy, some of it, I focus it and direct it towards someone that I think who needs it. Someone who perhaps needs a very certain kind of healing. Perhaps to help them over their problem of who they became in their physical life and how they've actually had to try to bring realization to their own state, to how they may best recover their lives. Perhaps they made mistakes in their life, in their physical state, and that they are still, in a sense, punishing themselves for the mistakes that they made. Some people remember when they've had a physical life that when they come to the spirit world, they're actually having quite difficulty. They suffer from these difficulties of not being able to overcome these problematic situations that came to them that perhaps they were unable to resolve. It may well be that we are talking here about energies towards someone who had been abused, perhaps, in their physical life, and that they have great difficulty in overcoming their own problems as well as forgiving those who had created that abuse in the first instance. This, then, is a very constant situation which can actually be quite difficult to overcome. There are many people who perhaps are locked within one specific race or tribe, that due to problems of that race and the inherent qualities, perhaps to do with the ways in which other races treated them, that they then have a problem which is inherent within the race. That they have a great problem in overcoming the other previous negative situations and traits unleashed upon them. We use these times of great gatherings of love to help these beings overcome these dire situations that were created around them, perhaps in their complete innocent lives, that they became then entrenched in these negative views and situations of themselves, unable to climb out of this. Just because they go to the spirit world doesn't mean to say that they can necessarily forgive or that everything is forgiven by them. This comes always to do not only with an innocent's life in an abusive situation, but also to do with the one who created it in the first place. We have to heal them as well. And we use these times of Christmas not just for those of the well-wishing of giving and receiving energy to do with them, the one specific religious feeling or tie that happens to be brought about in physical life. Don't forget, friends, that it was actually something which was overcome and in an effort to replace certain other paganistic views and their pre-Christian religious understanding, which were, in fact, just as valid in as much as the exact same views of Christianity. It's only then the understanding that some have that they feel that these pagan views were actually satanic. Why would they think that? It's because they were taught it. I'm not going to harp on about that too much, because it depends entirely upon where your mind is coming from and how your free will thinking has enabled you to be able to move through your life.
So, well, it sounds like we could do with Christmas 4 or 5 times a year then. Without the gifts and the alcohol and that sort of thing.
But yes.
As far as thinking about each other and, in that way, and would that make a big difference to how much difference would that make to you and to the planet?
Oh, absolutely, of course, yes. You could actually begin this, in a sense, by every single religion acknowledging beautiful and glorious moments about every other religion. Now, there would be a starting point. That then would perhaps bring about a greater polarity, a greater level playing field, perhaps. so that you don't have just the whole symptomatic that you are presently revelled in, which is, of course, that you have the uniqueness of time and date, which is centred around one religion.
Yes, and in fact all religion is a variation on a theme, really.
Absolutely so, yes, and really echo one another. So you have all of these perfected days, these days of celebration, even if you are just looking at one particular religion, you are perhaps going to celebrate all of the different saints, and all of that kind of thing. So, and that's just one religion. If you look at Krishna, you will discover many other formal days which are of great celebration and wonder that bring a great collective power together because of these sacred days that they are reminiscent of, that they help to focus people within within those very beautified senses. It enables the energy of the universe to actually become more focused, most certainly, in any event, those of which emanate from the planet of Earth. So it means to say then, who are the beings that are first benefiting from this? Does it mean to say then that if you are a Krishna devotee, that all of your energies are going to be directed toward Govinda or toward some other aspect of that religious understanding? And does it mean to say then that only those beings who are in the spirit world will actually be relevant to those energies? Does it mean to say that those energies become just singled out to those other members of the caste system that have previously had a physical life upon the earth plane?
Very interesting.
You see, those energies, my friend, they don't just go to those relatives, those loved ones. They go to everyone. But we won't tell them. It's just the same way as if you are perhaps acknowledging this virgin birth of Jesus, or the birth of Siddhartha, the birth of Buddha. Who are you to say your love for this one particular energy can only go to those also in the spirit world who have the same thoughts and feelings, who have the same religious understanding and background? If it should only go to those, are you then not, as a physical being, becoming religiously bioptic? Are you not becoming religiously racist in even sending your love to the spirit world?
If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, then the phone lines are open. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. If you'd like to call us, our free phone number in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. So, do you actually celebrate in the spirit world?
Well, I have to say,
apart from the healing, you know, welcoming the healing energy that comes, the love.
Well, there will be many millions, of course, of beings who are Christian who will be celebrating at this time for that particular memory, and celebrating at this time for the gathering of those souls who are a part of that structure.
So the families get together there like they do here?
Yes, they may well do, if they wish to do that. No one's stopping them. No one either will be stopping them from doing other things. Don't forget, as I say, this was also previously a regurgitated pagan religion. And before that, it was another one. And before that, another one. So upon your ancestry and say, there are many here who are going to celebrate this time for many different reasons.
Yes. Hello, caller. Who's speaking?
Hello there, Sylvie. This is Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, it went fairly okay. So how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, good.
Yes, okay. Very interesting subject today.
Good.
Hello, Gregory. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, my dear friend Brian. Never better. And what would you like to raise?
Well, I like to stay on the subject here. I feel when you're talking, when you're speaking, Gregory, I'm feeling a lot of similarities, what I'm going through. And I guess I see how the differences in religion, and I also see the commonality within them. And if humanity, you're right, if humanity can see past their differences, then they would kind of unite. But then I sense a fear with the different religions that if they united, it just seems like they bring about, they're pushing toward maybe a, they would see it as forming a one world religion or a new religion. So I can sense the fear in that for them. Then I see it going on to like the book of Revelation in the Bible, where they say this one world government or one world religion would bring about this Antichrist and stuff. And I know that that's not true. But I could see their thoughts on why they want to keep religion separate. So I do see why they do this.
Yes, and of course, my dear friend, within this same reflection that perhaps in welcoming the this separate state, it means to say that they are then keeping in within the same course that had already been dictated. It's almost like fulfilling a prophecy in some way.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That we see as well as being inherently dangerous, because after all, it's only a book, and it will only become true if you stick to the book. If you stick to it like glue and make and force those situations to be created, then those situations will be created, of course, because they're saying that this is going to be the pattern of how you will undo the wealth and the beauty of the planet.
Yes.
So in many respects, it's really there as a guide to say how not to pursue life. And yet, unfortunately, you at present have a situation where some people take this alternative as being the creation of utmost power for themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is why, in a sense, it's a very dangerous precedent that you have a situation where people are trying to create war and division within religious studies and understanding.
Yes.
Perhaps we see it between Christianity and
some of your tongue, Gregory, I know it is.
Yes, and the state of Arabic religious thought.
Yes.
That you actually have this as a way of saying, there, you see, I told you so. It's as though they're trying to force the Bible to bring about further truths. Well, in actual fact, you must remember that much of this wasn't actually written by anyone particularly knowledgeable at the time, but was actually created through the systematic dissemination of the Bible and the way in which the original story was actually abused and then fabricated.
Yes,
and refabricated in the year 500 AD. So it actually appears to be that you have this complete break with the core message that was actually brought about originally, and that you then have this very great problematic situation. I'm not only talking of here Christianity in this sense, but even if you look at Buddhism, you will see that there have been great wars between that and other religious concepts, between that and the whole systematic change of and many other different religions. You have these wars, you have these situations created which are bringing about intensive negativity. And yet, each and every single religion, if you look at it in the purest form, you will see that they're all exactly saying exactly the same thing. Take away the situation where priests and that kind of people have adulterated their religion and created disingenuous situations toward gender, so that men adopt the greatest power and that women are subservient to it, less than beasts. If you take away all of that, you will see that intrinsically within itself, in all of these beautiful people who have received and understood, brought with them that great realization, you may call them gurus, whoever. It doesn't matter. What matters is the central tenet of the message, which has always remained the same. The song remains the same.
Yes, I agree with you, Gregory. I guess if people can look beyond the illusions and look into their hearts and really see and ask themselves why, that question, why do we fight over the things we do? Is it really worth it?
Yes, because in actual fact, my friend, it's exactly the same, is it not, as if you are acknowledging that the rights of one tribe over another. So perhaps then you are acknowledging the rights of Japan, shall we say, to slaughter whales.
Yes.
Why would they have that right to still continually do such a thing when they don't actually have to physically eat whales? It isn't exactly the same point that they had when they were living 400 or 500 years ago. They actually only used to hunt whales occasionally because they could only very rarely actually catch whales. And even when they did, they didn't actually... I acknowledge that to them at that time, that tribe was perhaps particularly... they found it quite convenient to eat a whale every now and then. They used the oil and all of their food was processed. I understand that. But now at this time of the year that you have, in 2007, 2008, you do not need to do that. No one does.
Yeah.
You can instead acknowledge the beauty and the very fine energies that come from such a beast as a beautiful and pure part of the spirit.
Yes.
As a part of God. Isn't it better to actually acknowledge that and understand the true power and universal love that comes from that being, that emanates from that being, that creates that loving well of awareness from you as a being observing them, being in their vibration? Isn't that a more ingenuous creation of that energy of love to be given back to God? For a whale is a part image of that which God is.
It's like if one looks in the mirror and they can see the self-appreciation within themselves, and that permeates and reflects society, and then you could see the shift in consciousness. But it's so loving, Gregory.
Absolutely so, my friend. You have these people who are trying to change their society. People, all of these wonderful beings, hosts in this one particular radio station, all trying to give their all in trying to help people understand that they too can have a voice, and that they too can recognize the beauty within themselves. unfortunately, you have some people currently present in physical life who try at their very utmost, and that results in their life, in giving up of their life for that situation, because perhaps they see all too clearly that there is a path of reconciliation that needs to be made, that needs to be met. And yet, even that is not enough for some people. They would rather squash it than actually enable it to be recognized and come to heal the voices and hearts of man.
Yes. That's so true, Gregory. Well, thank you, Sylvie, and thank you, Gregory. I just wanted to speak about
that.
Brian. Yes. And have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so, my dear friend, with love and peace within every breath you make.
Oh, thank you, Gregory. And to you also, dear friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Sylvie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Absolutely. Something that you talked to us about once before was, you said that people tend to pass over at Christmas.
Some do, yes. Some will use that energy, that abundant energy of love that happens to be there. And if they are perhaps on the verge of passing anyway, they will actually wait until Christmas.
Is that something that they can physically do? A person can physically do that? Or is it the spirit of that person that knows and waits?
Yes, it can very often be the spirit of that person that actually calms the inner state being of that physical state. The spirit will calm it and say, no, we will just wait until this time, because the connection will be made in a more purified and beautified way of actually dealing with that energy and connecting with that energy. They will then perhaps have a much easier time of letting go because of the loving energy that happens to be around at that time.
So do relatives in the spirit world gather around at Christmas time, you know, like deceased relatives, do they gather around us at Christmas time more so than at other times, just because the celebrations draw them back to us?
It may well be that way, and of course it will also be then that you as a physical being will be thinking about them because they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll be thinking about perhaps some uncle that you've never, maybe that you haven't thought of for all of the year round, because perhaps he passed some 15 or 20 years ago or something like that. And you just, suddenly there they are. You haven't thought of them for years, and yet there they are. And they're coming to you at this time because they wish to be remembered. And so those thoughts that come to you fresh out of the blue, just like that, they're not created by your imagination just because they're not random thoughts that occur because you are not thinking of anything in particular, and then suddenly, oh well, your busy mind just wants to recollect on something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just, some would have it, perhaps some scientists would have it that your mind, being fickle the way it is, will just remember the situations of your past life and the way in which you reflect upon those childhood early memories, particularly if you're not actually thinking of anything in particular at that time to qualify your mind. And so it can be that in these random moments you then just reimagine those ties with those loved ones and you think of them. Well, it may well be that that can be a part of the actual mechanism that illuminates these thoughts,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying that also it may well just subsequently be the same structure is brought about by, in fact, your loved ones being present. Ancestors, of course, yes, coming very close to you at that time because they want to be remembered.
Well, and also I presume then because of the amount of energy and love that's coming from the earth plane, is it easier for spirit to actually manifest themselves in a purer, stronger way to us because of the energy and the love that is around.
Yes, it can most certainly be that way. My friend, it is exactly the same loving energy that would be brought about perhaps during some sort of physical seance or something like that. This is exactly the same. I'm not really talking here about when people gather and they're asking for negative energies to interact with them or something like that. I tend to think that that's somewhat hazardous, particularly when they don't actually necessarily send, say, an opening prayer or invocation to protect themselves at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that very often that can be for the very wrong reasons, or perhaps bringing about an interaction which can then be just there to quantify their ability to do so.
Yes, you mean more of a professional seance where a professional physical medium or whatever, or mediums actually conduct a specific, shall we say, organized session to...
Yes.
To manifest spirit.
Yes, absolutely so.
Okay.
And also, of course, what I'm saying in this respect is that is the same thing that anyone will do when you gather as a group of beings. That's what you're doing. It's just that at the time of Christmas or any other religious festival or experience, you are actually gathering many, many more people together than you would otherwise do if you are just creating an isolated seance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, it's exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same.
So it is easier.
Yes.
Mm.
Absolutely. So it will be a time when people hear taps on the mantelpiece or on the television set. Of course, that's a very simple thing to do for the spirit world and actually requires a great less energy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same reason, of course, as why spirits tend to manifest orbs. It's because it takes a lot less energy to do that than manifest themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much simpler thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So this also presumably goes with pets as well. Does Christmas in the spirit world affect our pets at all?
Well, of course, my friend, they actually use that energy and that loving experience issuing from the physical world, and it enables them to become perhaps more easily able to manifest themselves in some way, perhaps as energy is around your feet or perhaps even come and sit on the bed or something like that when you are trying to get to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these situations will bring about an intensive state of loving energy, which is directed toward you, which is created from the situations and feelings of your remembrance of them, and the ways in which these energies create loving bonds consciously between you, between the two worlds.
It is a fascinating thing, isn't it? You know, It's probably only at Christmas. If you write Christmas cards, everybody, then I think then that is more, it's more obvious then that you have to think of the people that you haven't thought of for a long time. And sometimes, you know, lo and behold, the phone will ring or something will happen and
yes.
It rekindles a psychic link or whatever. All sorts of things can come from this sort of awakening once a year, can't it?
Yes, and as I say, it doesn't matter whether you are an Islamist or whether you are a Buddhist or whoever it is. It doesn't matter. The point is that it's creating something that you can use that energy in a state of loving flux between yourself and other human beings, whether they're in the physical world or the spirit world, it doesn't matter. And by using that energy at that time, you actually are able to bridge the gap between the two worlds, just with your loving thoughts, because there are situations that you don't normally create in your physical life. What I'm saying here is that why do it just at once a year?
Well, exactly, and if we did it, say, every other month or something like that, and for whatever reason, how much impact would that have on the world?
Yes, I suppose in a sense, my dear friend, it's one of the reasons why at...
By the way, I don't think I could... I wouldn't get my trousers on if we did it every other month. I'd have to go up a few sizes, and I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, you would have to do fasting in between.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah.
That's what fasting was all about, really, to make sure that you can still wear the same clothes.
Okay, clothes.
I'm just playing with you, of course.
I know.
Yes. So the point I'm trying to make here is that if you look then at other religious festivals, even if you look at why it is that certain religions would say, well, on the seventh day then, that you aren't supposed to do anything. And remember, my friend, for the best part of, shall we say, 1,950 years, it had been that on every Sunday that people actually in Christianity were not supposed to do anything.
Mm.
And all they were supposed to do was to commit themselves to God or reconnect with that loving energy as it was supposed to be, thinking of their relatives, their loved ones. If you look at other situations of native peoples, wherever they are from, whatever indigenous tribe, you will see that at certain times of the week or of the month, they would have times when they gathered together, perhaps native groups gathering together in the sweat lodges. Why would they do that? They create that religious experience so that they can speak with their ancestors and reconnect with them. A very deeply loving and evolving religious experience. Something that continues to help them to grow as religious beings. Not religion for the sake of it, but to help them to feel whole and complete, so that they are not apart from those ancestors who love them so much, but that in fact they become complete within their union, that it is a strength for them.
Well, I don't think actually, I mean, obviously Christmas is absolutely wonderful for children, and but I don't actually think that many people even associate it with a religious festival these days.
Quite so.
Do you know what I mean? And, you know, for whatever reason that people do celebrate, then, you know, that's up to themselves. I mean, certain rituals are beneficial without... it's amazing how we can do that without arguing over it, because the amount of people that do celebrate Christmas that don't believe in Christianity, it doesn't seem to matter, because it's fun, if you know what I mean.
Yes, as I say, even you will even find that people who perhaps live in a predominantly Christian community, Islamists or whoever, will still go out and buy Christmas cards, perhaps, or send cards to people. They won't necessarily have the baby Jesus on them and all of that, but they may well have other Christmas forms of sentiment or loving sentiment toward other people, toward other members of their own community.
Well, I think...
And friends and family and other people that they know.
Well, I think that because Jesus was a prophet, I think most religions have respect for prophets, even if they don't... even if they aren't the deity that they worship.
Exactly so. And, after all, aren't all of them supposed to be specific prophets of that time or that age, to help people to relate to these single, simple, core issues. Learn to love, to be respectful, to create love, and be loved.
Have you got any New Year's resolutions, Gregory?
Not really a New Year's resolution, my friend. I have a constant one instead. And that is that the next person that I meet, I am going to give them my all. For if everyone could create, what all they could give, there would be no reason to say no.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gregory. That's been wonderful.
With love and blessings be upon you, each and every one. Thank you for your sacred journeys.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say thank you for your call, Brian, and for anybody who joined us today for the first time, and just anybody that joined us today. Thank you so much for listening to Spirit's Work. And we hope you enjoyed the show. And I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I don't know why, I haven't got a cold. Anyway, if you go on our website, you can find out plenty of information about us and our work, our books. Book yourself an Akashic reading if you like. That would be wonderful. And as well as Spirit's Work on BBS on Mondays and Thursdays, we also have another radio show, Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. My name is Sylvie Avery. Thank you so much and have a lovely new year. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.